welcome to Stressless Radio, where it's all about stressing less and living more. I'm your host, JJ Fredrickson.
Hello, and can you believe it? We are rolling right into the end of May. I cannot believe it, but the only thing that has made me realize this is that my summer schedule is starting to fill up. I'm starting to get more and more things on the calendar. So today on Stressless Radio, where it is all about stressing less and living more, we are going to talk about getting a grip on your summer schedule. Yep, that's right. It's one of my favorite topics this time of year. And then I think it's about time for a stress science segment. So we are going to talk about the science of email stress. So let's get going. Let's get started with...
Get a grip.
Yes, today I'm going to give you some of my big tips that I use every summer to try to keep my summer manageable. I love to have fun in the summer. My daughter's getting older. We get to do so many fun things now. But I don't know about you, but I also like a little downtime in the summer. I want a little time to just relax and hang out in the yard. So let's get started by picking a theme for the summer. That's right, I'm asking you to pick a theme because this is what's going to help you design a perfect summer, the summer that's right for you and your family. So what is it? You know, here I live in Wisconsin. We want to eke out every moment of the summer, but that overcommitting and overscheduling can actually prevent us from enjoying it. So you might be spending the whole time in the car instead of enjoying the beautiful weather. And this happens because everything sounds so great. You want to go to the ball game and the park and the amusement park and swimming at the beach and summer camp for your kids and bicycle rides. There's so much that sounds so great. We end up saying yes to everything instead of actually designing and editing our summer. So, like I said, I like to pick a theme for the summer. So, in the past, I have used a summer of tradition where I really wanted to spend the summer doing the traditional things that I did when I was growing up. You can have a summer theme of relaxation, a summer theme of family or adventure or fun. And for me this summer, I think my summer theme is going to be joy. I'm going to do that which brings me joy. So that's my summer theme. So what you're going to do is you're going to use that theme to help you make decisions so you don't get swept away in the summer groove. You're going to pick that theme that's just right for you, or you can even get together as a couple or as a family and pick a theme for the summer. And that theme becomes your filter to decide what to do and what to edit out. You know, you take out whatever doesn't fit with the theme. So if I do a traditional theme, like I have, I think it was two summers ago, I did a traditional summer. So if I'm given the option to go to the beach or to go to the Children's Museum, I'm going to pick the beach. Now, the Children's Museum sounds great. It might be even a great rainy day activity. But on this particular day, I'm going to pick the beach because when I was a kid in my traditional summers, we did not have a children's museum. We did not go to a children's museum. We spent a lot of time at the beach. So it just gives you that, again, that filter, that sort of gauge where you can decide what you want to do. Now, you might go completely flip side. And last summer, I wanted to be a tourist in my own area. And so I was trying things that were new. We went to a lot of places that I had never been to before, that I'd heard about all my life, but I'd never been to before. So again, it's about picking the theme that gets your juices going, that excites you, that is going to be the type of summer that you want. Now, here's another thing you can do. If you're finding it hard to pick one theme, you can pick a theme for each of the months. Now, like I said, last summer, I was really focusing on being a tourist in my own area. So there was a lot of novel new things that we were doing in June and July. But honestly, August, August was a focus on my health. I'd been having some health issues that turned out to be gluten sensitivities and some real major issues with that. And I had been working with a doctor for several months, and I decided that August was just going to be the time when I listened to my body. And if I was tired, we didn't do anything that day. It was just really focused on my health. So you can also break the summer up like that and pick a different theme for every month or just for 1 month like I did last year. But again, this really helps you edit and make decisions. Number two, the second big tip I have, and the last one, quite frankly, is that you actually create a schedule for the summer. You create a calendar. I should say it's more of a calendar than a schedule. So what you're going to do, and this nearly kills my husband when I say this, you are going to actually use a paper calendar. That's right. A paper calendar. Now, during the rest of the year, I love my calendar on my iPhone. It's all synced up to my computer and everything. It is fabulous. But as I'm sitting there and planning the summer, yes, I do put things in my iPhone as well, but I need to see the whole summer laid out in front of me, because then it's a very visual thing. It's very much like a map. You can see the islands of things that you've already planned. So for instance, my daughter's going to do a couple of day camps this summer. Those I write into the calendar in ink. They are set in stone. There's nothing going to change them unless she's sick or something, or there's a family emergency. Those are in ink, and those are some islands that I get to work around then. So then the other things that are possibilities, I put in pencil. I know that's not a shocking concept, but you know, we are going to probably go to the county fair. It's a traditional thing that we do every year. Will we go to the state fair? I don't know. Maybe. I'll put it in pencil on the calendar. And, you know, if that seems like it fits with my theme at the time, great. If not, we're going to erase that out and we're going to put in something else that's going to bring us more joy that day. So you see how that happens? You get to actually block out the times. And the big thing for me about seeing this completely visual representation of 3 months laid out in front of me is I can see where I need downtime. Because like I said, I like my summers to be fun and I like some busyness, but I honestly need some downtime. So if I'm seeing too much ink there, I might have to schedule some downtime in ink. It also lets me see where there are big gaps, because my daughter loves her computer. And, you know, me and my husband spend a lot of time on our computers too. So I can't fault her for spending a lot of time on her computer. And I don't mind it, because she's also getting outside and so forth too. But I need to make sure I break up those large chunks where there's nothing scheduled with the park or a bike ride or something, so that I'm ensuring that she's getting out. Like I said, she's pretty good at getting out on her own, but I want to make sure that I've got that level of, you know, I don't really like to use the word balance, but I think I'm going to just use it. I can see the balance. I can sort of see the ebb and the flow of summer, and it allows me to plan accordingly. So that's what I have for you. How do you get a great summer? Number one, you pick a theme, and that helps you to make decisions and edit out what not to do. It helps you say no, because everything sounds good, right? Number two, get a physical calendar and start blocking out your time. Block out some of it in ink and some of it in pencil. And you know what? Always remember, you don't have to give an answer to someone right away. If someone invites me to the state fair, I can tell them, you know, I'm not going to be able to let you have an answer on that till about 2 weeks beforehand. It looks like the schedule's open, but I really need to wait and see on that. So will that work for you? If I let you know, say the state fair starts on the 1st of the month, can I let you know by the 15th of the month before? Will that give you enough time for us to plan on going? You know, you don't have to give an answer right away. A maybe is an answer. And then it always helps to sort of lock your, well, it helps me, I don't know if it helps you, but it helps me to lock myself in with a date where I will give them an answer. So that's it. Summer right around the corner, and also coming right around the corner is a quick break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with some stress science. Deadlines, bills, lists, budgets, sickness, divorce, clutter, debt, worry, stress. Why spend another day disconnected and stressed out? It's time to break out of those old patterns and start living life easy with the Live Life Easy Stress Solution. Improve communications and relationships, find focus, create confidence, and live with more passion, purpose, and fun. The Live Life Easy Stress Solution is an at-home study course on sale now at www.stresssolutiondvd.com. That's all one word, stresssolutiondvd.com. Hi, I'm JJ Fredrickson, your host of Stress Less Radio, where it's all about stressing less and living more. And we are located right here on our home, the amazing Woman of Power, Talk 24/7 Radio Network, powered by Raven International. Now, it's been a little while since I've done some stress science, so I haven't been reading a lot of the right magazines and books and looking at the right websites lately. But I got a little interested in it because I have had a problem that has plagued me, well, since 2005. So if I look back at my Gmail account, that's when I opened it, was in June of 2005. And since then, I have anywhere from, usually, sometimes I get it cleaned out, but usually I have anywhere between 100 and 1,000 unread messages. Now, 1,000 is extreme. That hasn't happened too often, but it has happened. And now that doesn't mean that I haven't looked at the messages, because what happens is that I check my email, and that's the term I use. I check my email and I go through it, and there are things that, oh, I'd like to check up on that sale and I'd like to read that, but I'm not going to do it right now. I don't have time right now, so I'll just do it later, right? So I keep it marked as unread. And I know some of you out there are cringing because my husband cannot believe I operate like this, right? So I keep it marked as unread because I'm going to get back to it later. Yeah, right. So needless to say that I think this causes a little bit of stress. Not a lot for me, but it does cause a little bit of stress because I have had emails sort of get lost in the shuffle sometimes, and that's where the stress comes in. So I decided that I would do a little research on the science behind the stress of email. Now, before I get into that segment, I wanted to mention a little bit more. I did resolve at the beginning of the year that I would only have unread emails from this month, from the current month. And at the beginning of the next month, I would go through and clear out all the previous emails. So that's where I have maybe 100 to 200 unread emails. I know, again, some of you that sounds terrible for. But, you know, it has improved. It has helped me quite a bit. But, and it was a step. You know, I understood this isn't the answer, but it's a step in the right direction. And I'm all about taking those baby steps that get you moving in the right direction. So, wouldn't you know it, fate, providence, God, whatever it might be, sent me a program through a business coach I worked with several years called, it was a video, and it was called something like Inbox Zero or something. And the goal was to get zero, to always have zero emails in your inbox. And so I watched the program last week, and just today I got my system implemented. Don't know how it's going to work yet. It's a work in progress, but we will see. The big thing, one of the big things he talked about though, is that, and I wish I could get you that video, but it is proprietary. I can't give it to you, and I'm not even sure right now who gave the lecture. But The goal is zero mail in your inbox, zero unread mail. So he talked, instead of checking your email, which is what I do, that you go in there and you process it. So you take about 3 seconds to decide which folder it goes into. And he gave a list of suggested folder ideas, which I don't remember, and I did not follow, but they gave me a springboard. So what I did was I have a folder called Response Needed. Now, this isn't for the quick little response where you can do it in 5 seconds. This is a little more detailed response, so I can move my email into there. Unread, and that's where all those ones that I think I'm going to get to, but I usually don't, they're going to be filed in there. And then I have one for bills and... Is that it? That's it. Wow. 3 folders. So we'll see how that works. We will see how that works. It is a work in progress. But I'm hoping that at least I can get them filed where they needed, and then maybe once a week go through the unread folder and make sure that I've read all that. But I'm marking it all as being read right now, just so I don't have that number, that red number, bleeping at me all the time. So let's get on. I'd like to get into the actual, that's my personal experience. Now I'd like to get into the actual.
It's time for stress. Science.
Yes, it's time for stress science, and today we are looking at the science of stress behind emails. And I have to admit, based on what you've heard of my personal email experience, this is quite the opposite, but it's a study that just was released this month in May. And it was done by researchers from the University of California, Irvine. And they worked with a group from the U.S. Army, and they found that a group of workers who took an email vacation were actually less stressed than those who didn't. So let me get into the details of this study a little bit. Now, apparently, in most offices, people are encouraged to have their email program on all day so that every time an email comes in, it alerts them and they can go and address it. Now, I haven't been in an office setting in a very long time. We had inner office email, but it wasn't such a big deal back then like it is now. So this study was done at an Army Soldier System Center near Boston, and it was conducted with 13 civilian employees. Now, their computers were hooked up to certain monitors so that people could check into what they were doing when, and their bodies were also hooked up to systems that would measure their heart rate and their breathing and blood pressure and so forth. So basically, for 1 work week, these employees were given an email vacation. That's 5 days where they were not to check their email at all. And what the researchers found was that these workers who were on their email vacation experienced a more natural variable heart rate than their counterparts who were checking every time the email toned in or every so often, whatever their system was. But here's the kicker. Not only were their bodies showing signs of less stress and more ease, but they were switching between computer windows about half as much. So that means they're extrapolating that these people were probably more productive. So what researchers of the study, Gloria Mark, she's a professor at the University of California, Irvine. She said, quote, "We were surprised by the results because they didn't have to turn out this way. It's possible that people might have been even more stressed not to have email, to feel like they were missing out on something. So we didn't expect that people would become significantly less stressed. They were seriously worried that people would be considering themselves isolated and cut off and worried about how they were going to make their deadlines and answer people and get their messages across. But the opposite was actually true. The opposite was true. These people were less stressed. So there was less multitasking and presumably more productivity. So coworkers who did continue reading emails switched their screens twice as often, an average of 37 times per hour. 37 different screens per hour. Their counterparts who were on the email vacation only switched their computer screens an average of 18 times per hour. So, and then people who were reading their emails were in a steady, quote, high alert state with more constant heart rates that were showing more stress. Now, the ones who were on the email vacation reported that they felt better able to do their jobs and stay on task with fewer stressful and time-wasting interruptions. And the American Psychological Association's Psychologically Healthy Workplace Program did weigh on this. The head of that program, David Ballard, said, while the study focused on email, it really got to some important issues such as multitasking, focus, and being present at what we do on a day-to-day basis. It really highlights the importance of people not trying to do so many things at one time and being present at what they do. So what do you do about email stress? Well, the website Psych Central has a couple ideas. I will be linking to this on the resource section of stresslessradio.com. But they have an article on 3 tips for dealing with email stress. And number 1 is use the 3-second rule. And this is sort of what I was talking about, where you're not checking your email necessarily at that point or reading your email, but you're processing it. So it says the 3-second rule, a common problem with email is that we spend too much time deciding what to do about a specific email. So force yourself to spend no more than 3 seconds deciding what to do with an email. Respond to it with a quick email, delete it, archive it, or put it on your to-do list. And again, I'm implementing that. I'm going to be giving that one a try. Number 2, again, these are tips for dealing with your email stress from Psych Central website, psychcentral.com. Number 2 is turn off the notifications for all but the most important things. So for those workers in the office, it's not that they would necessarily be taking a complete vacation from email, but maybe they wouldn't be getting that tone coming in all the time. Maybe they'd only get it, you know, if it was their boss's email coming through. And I'm not sure how you do that, but if there's a way to do it, it's good. Or you can schedule that you're going to go in at the top of the hour and at the bottom of the hour and check your email and turn off the tones completely. But here's what the psychcentral.com website has to say about it. It says, it may seem like hobbling a tool meant to improve one's flow and productivity, but most people are actually quite horrible multitaskers. Again, this is what one of the leaders of the study was saying. They expected people to be less productive and more stressed. And the truth was, when they were able to focus on one thing and not multitask as much, they were actually calmer and better able to do their job. So it says notifications are only useful when they mean something special. Otherwise, they just become background white noise in your daily routine. And I have to say, that's what my ticker is. It's just white noise. I've always had several unread messages. So I never pay attention to the number there. And I'm guessing that's how it can be for some people with that tone coming in. So they say shut them down except for the most important notifications. And then number 3, and this is one that I do consistently. I'm pretty good at this one. Unsubscribe from everything. Now, I don't unsubscribe from everything, but when I start getting too many, I know it's time to get off some lists. And so I go through and I unsubscribe. Now, for me, when I'm staring at, 500 unread emails, even unsubscribing can seem kind of stressful. So what I do, and I tell my clients to do, because I actually have had clients with a similar problem, I tell them to go through and unsubscribe from 5 a day. That's all, just 5 a day. And that's not that overwhelming, right? 5 a day, and pretty soon that email coming in is going to be a lot less. It really works, just 5 a day, and it takes maybe 5 minutes tops. So, and this psychcentral.com article says, why not stop the problem at its root? Go through your email box and be reckless about unsubscribing from every newsletter or company email that you get that's automatically sent to you. You're allowed to keep 1 or 2 if they mean a lot and that you actually read, but the rest just contribute to your feelings of being overwhelmed and stressed out by the sheer quantity of email you receive. So there you have it, some stress science on emails. I'm going to take one more quick break, and then I will be back right after this.
started off fun. A hike into the Canadian wilderness. I made some friends, and I met a girl. And it was about 6 days in when everything changed. Everything went wrong.
The Amazing Woman of Power Talk 24/7 Radio Network, powered by Raven International, and you're listening to Stressless Radio, where it's all about stressing less and living more. And I'm hoping that last spot didn't actually stress you out. That is my husband's book trailer for the book he finished just at the end of last year. It's called Under Mountain. And of course, if you're interested in it, I will have a link up on my resources on stresslessradio.com. And I have to say, I'm so proud of him. He just finished the second book in this Under Mountain trilogy. It's not up for sale yet. Hopefully July 1st is the target date for it to be up for sale too. But, you know, of course I'm plugging my husband's book. It's a shameless plug, but it actually does tie in with Stressless Radio. And you might be wondering how am I making this tie-in? Well, the truth is that reading can actually be a great stress reliever. Now, I was looking for the research on this, and I'm sorry I wasn't able to find it before airtime for this show, but I have heard that reading actually, of course, gets some of those stress hormones. If it's an exciting book, it can get some of those stress hormones running through your body and actually cause some stress response. But what happens is that you're actually able to have resolution right away, where in day-to-day life, you don't get that instant resolution and that instant come down. So it can actually help you with your day-to-day stress by just providing that physiological consequence of, you know, having the stress hormones and then having the resolution and coming down off that. So I've heard that. I've read that somewhere. Couldn't get the information for you, but here's what I could get for you. Back in 2009, they did a study at the University of Sussex, and it says that reading does actually help you reduce stress by up to 68%. 68%. This was research that was carried out at the Mind Lab International there at the university. And they noted that even reading for just 6 minutes a day silently would slow down the heart rate and ease tensions in the muscles. And it got subjects to stress levels lower than before they started. And what's interesting too in this study, like I said, reading reduced stress levels by 68%. Listening to music, it's leading the list. Listening to music reduced levels by 61%. Having a cup of tea or coffee lowered them by 54%. Taking a walk by 42%. And playing video games was stress reduction of 21%. So the researcher, Dr. Lewis, who conducted the test said, losing yourself in a book is the ultimate relaxation. This is particularly poignant in uncertain economic times when we are all craving a certain amount of escapism. It doesn't really matter what book you read. By losing yourself in a thoroughly engrossing book, you can escape from the worries and stresses of the everyday world and spend a while exploring the domain of the author's imagination. So there you have it. Pick up a book this weekend, take a good read, and Just have some relaxation. Just as little as 6 minutes a day can reduce your stress by 68%. Well, that's all we have time for here today on Stressless Radio. Thank you so much for joining me. Again, you can find me on Facebook, jjthelifecoach.com. And as always, I have resources and some archived shows on stresslessradio.com. So have a great week, everyone. And we will be back next week with Stressless Radio, where it's all about stressing less and living more.